Father God, we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in that very short video. That Holy Spirit, you're introducing Jesus to every heart. And our prayer is that at the end of this short study of the Word, that the conviction of everyone in this place, young and old, would say, I believe. I choose to believe, and not just believe, but to give my life to the one who created me. So, Father God, we thank you for what your Word does, and that is builds up our faith. To know Jesus in a very intimate way, because that's who you are. You're a God of relationship, and that's what you long for from all of us, a personal and intimate relationship with you. As we open up our hearts to your Word, we thank you that you're going to give us an understanding of who you are. As a God who's not distant, but a God who longs to be so close and would like to develop that kind of intimacy with any one of us, for the heart that would believe and a heart that would surrender himself or herself to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And if you have your Bibles, and if I may please request those who are able to please rise up, and if you have your Bibles, to turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 15. Colossians chapter 1. Glory to God. Verse 15 of Colossians 1. He, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. So you were created. If you believe that you were created by Jesus, so that's one truth. And the other truth is Jesus created you for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through Jesus to reconcile to the Father all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Please be seated. Praise God. Thank you. How many of you were in awe?
Yeah.
You know, the goal and objective of this study today is for us, through the help of the Holy Spirit, not just to believe there is a God, but that to know that he wants to have a relationship with us. In Romans chapter 1, let's look at that. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans 1, 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Let's look at that again, because after what we saw in that short video, it says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, what are those? His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So from that verse alone, it tells us that God is revealing himself to all. How? Just through creation. It's It's impossible. The Word of God tells us that it's impossible for anyone not to believe that there's a God who exists when people would even consider creation. When you look up in the sky, when you go to the beach, when you go to mountains, some of you are well-traveled. You go to many places and you see the wonders of God's creation. And that is a display of God's power. And it's a display of God's wisdom. Hallelujah. And so here, nature shows us that He is a God of power and might. In that short video of creation, it tells us of God's intelligence. You know, who can create that? But only a God who is full of wisdom. He is a God of order and beauty. You know, when I look at some of those, I see how, my goodness, in His design, He has created even beautiful birds that fly up in the sky. Have you ever, even that, the last one was like, was that a penguin? He is a God of not just beauty, but He is a God of intricate details. That even in God's creation, the intricacy of flowers, the beauty of variety of birds, the stripes of a zebra, the long neck of a giraffe. When we look at the vast expanse of the sea, and a God of power that tells the mighty waves of that sea, that tells that waves, stop there. Because now He even tells us that He is a God who controls powerful forces. One portion of that video was, it even showed how the powerful force of that waterfall gushing forth from the mountains. Did you see that? Powerful force of the waters. So there's a God who created all of this. Now, what we said earlier is, but what people need to understand is, from the Word of God, is that this God of creation, God of power and might, is a loving God. It doesn't end there. You know, probably for some, that's why someone said it's harder to be an atheist rather than to be a follower of the Lord. It's harder because consider the creation. And so, but what the Lord wants us, when you and now, you and I have this desire to, what's really in this book? Like what Brother Well said, face the book. When you and I come face to face with the God of creation Himself through the Word, He reveals Himself. He tells us, I'm not just a God who would display my power and might, but I want you to know that I love you so much, that I care for you. And so that's why there's someone who, when he received that revelation from the Spirit of God Himself, let's look at that in Psalm 8. Look at what he said here in the book of Psalm, chapter 8. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. That's why it's something when you and I turn to the Word of God and we begin to see powerful truths from His Word. Are you there with me? Psalm 8. We're going to start with verse 3. Psalm chapter 8. We're going to start with verse 3. It says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. Look at verse 4. What is man that you are what? Mindful of him. In our everyday language, it means that you even bother. Lord, you are a big God. Why do you even bother that you would care for him? Did you see that? What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you care for him? See, when we begin to see how God in His bigness and yet He's mindful of us, we are just in awe. You know, I was just reminded when I was on medical leave for that long period of time, I got from the mail, a letter from, you know, glory to God for this, from the president of the company that I work for. I received a get well card from the president of the company. And so, you know what? I treasured that card, because the way it touched me is, how is it that a man of his position, a busy man, would even find the time to write down a card and say, you know, we miss you here. We hope that you're getting better. And so, you know, I kept that card. I kept that card because it's like it touched my heart that someone like him in his position would even bother to do that for me. And there was another time wherein I'm on the third floor, and the executive offices, the owners of the company, they are on the fourth floor. When at another occasion when I was sick, the owner himself came down to the third floor and went to my cubicle. And then he gave me a hug. I'm glad, Monette, that you're back. So that meant a lot to me too. So what I'm saying here is, if you and I can be touched by a kind gesture from men and or people of positions and authority, how much more when the God of creation, the God himself who created us, created people like them, the owner of the company that I work for, the president of the company that I'm working with, would even bother to do that. But there's someone greater than them who is mindful of me, not just me, but also mindful of you. And so David, when he looked at the beauty and the grand design of God's creation, the earth, the seas, and the skies, he cannot just help but wonder, how can a God like you be even so concerned about us? So not just concerned about us from a distance, and that would say, okay, he would just probably in one snap of a finger provide for what we need. Can he do that? Yes. But like the owner of the company, he went down to the third floor. Jesus came down from heaven to visit us. Not just what's amazing was the way he demonstrated his love for you and me, that he not just gave up so many privileges and rights as God, he became like us. He take the human form. Can you imagine that? Someone who is enjoying all the privileges and the rights of God. Then he would say yes to the plan of salvation of the Father. I would have to send you, Jesus, my son, to die on that cross, because he loves us so much that that's his plan for us to be reconciled with him. How? Through the blood that he shed on that cross. Jesus gave up his life so that you and I may have the gift of eternal life. Amen. So for any one of us who are going through moments of being down and out, feeling down, at times, when people would treat us how, you know, because we live in an imperfect world. Is that true? Yes, we live in a sin-fallen world, and that brings about this imperfection in the lives of people. I have my own set of imperfections, and so do you. And because of our imperfection, you know, we don't treat people the way we should. And so there might be moments in our lives wherein we begin to question our self-worth when we are basing it upon how others treat us, whether it be someone close to you, or even someone in the workplace, someone in church, or people outside. At times, because of how others treat us, we can feel insignificant and neglected. But praise God that from the Word of God, he tells us that your life, my life, has worth. My life and your life has significance because of what God says, not because of what anyone would say. You know, at times, some people might say good things at times, it might just be a form of flattery. They might not be sincere, but one thing I know, that there's a God who's sincere, that when he tells me he cares for me, it's the real truth, the plain truth, and nothing but the truth. Because Jesus, his word is truth. And so when there will be moments like that in your life and mine wherein people would like, it hurts at times, no? Pag you don't feel, you don't gain the respect or approval. You know, in the culture that we're living in, you would see that there's this longing in the hearts of many to be loved, to be accepted, to be liked. In your Facebook, how many likes do you get in something that you post? Oh, you get excited when you, oh, likes, I got so many likes. That tells us of our inner desire to be liked, loved. And see, but here's the thing. When people fail to do that to us, it can affect us. And that's when we begin to see ourselves lesser. And what we're pointing out here is that we're not here to exalt or elevate ourselves. We need to see ourselves the way God sees us. Because see, it's either to the extreme end. The enemy would want, Satan, who is the enemy of our souls, would want to do the extreme. Either we see ourselves as insignificant and of no value, or sobra namang, you know, yabang or prideful. Oy, I'm prettier than her. Oh, I didn't say that, ha? Hindi ako yun. Oh, I drive a nicer car than, oh, look at your car. Comparing ourselves. See, the tendency is when we do that, the tendency is somebody would be greater than us or lower than us, right? Or we see ourselves lower, extremes, no? So the Lord doesn't want us to have that kind of estimation of ourselves. God wants us to have a godly confidence, not confident of ourselves, but confident in him alone. Amen. And so we pray that you and I would see our true worth based on how God sees us, not how much money we have in the bank, not based on how many likes we get on our Facebook, or no, not that, not on our position, not on anything of those things, but the way God sees us. Because in Christ, the Bible tells us that you and I are accepted by God. In Christ, you and I are forgiven. In Christ, you and I have been what? Chosen. To be chosen by God himself to be a part of his kingdom of light. And do you know that, you know, in this society that we're living in, even in our age, they only value, and this is not something that we have anything against about young people. No. God sees each one, whether you're a young person in your teens or you're in your prime. Ano bang prime natin? When you're in your mid-20s, malakas pa. But when you begin to, I don't like to say going down the hill. In Christ, we don't go down the hill. Amen? Because we have people in the Bible that even in their 80s, they were being used by God mightily. And so even in our old age, God can use us. And so because everything comes from God, he is the source of strength. He is the source of wisdom. In all things, when God provides this, he sees to it that he is glorified in our lives. Amen. And so in Christ, all of this, we begin to see our true worth. Amen. And because God cares for us, we can depend on him. Can I say that again? Because the truth is, God cares for us. You and I can depend on him. Now let's look at another portion in the same book, in Psalm, the book of Psalm, Psalm 121. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it has powerful truths. Amen. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. Glory to God. What does it say there? I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? So that verse is a question, no? First, what the author did was he said, I lifted up my eyes, where? To the hills. And the question was raised, where does my help come from? And the answer is found in the succeeding verse, in verse 2. My help, it's a personal thing. My help comes from whom? From thee, Lord, capital L. Not anyone else, but from the Lord. And the Bible describes us who that Lord is. The maker of heaven and earth. Isn't that powerful? What is your need today? Where will your help come from? Where will my help come from? We have to lift up our eyes to the heavens where God is. The Bible tells us that the Lord, He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one that will help you and me because He is the maker of heaven and earth. The help for our personal needs, individual needs, the needs for family, the needs as a nation, the needs as a church. Where will the help come from? The Lord Himself. I don't know where you were last Monday. Here in America, we experienced the total solar eclipse. Were you in Qatar still? Yeah. Okay, all right. But here, that Monday, there was this hype about certain portions of the country experiencing total solar eclipse. And so the scientific explanation for that was just that, you know how God created all of this, the sun, the moon, and the stars and all that. Everything is in order, no? Yes. We see the earth in that video. NASA can give us a good glimpse of what the earth looks like up there in the satellites. The earth is huge, right? And the heavens, that's where God is. Heaven is His throne, and the earth is just His footstool. So Tagalog, tapakan lang ho. So it's just, He's just stepping on the earth. So that's how big God is, right? And yet, what happened that Monday was, so people were waiting for that event to happen. So we know that the sun is bigger than the moon. But the total solar eclipse is when the moon now, because it's turning now, begins to like cover. The moon was so aligned perfectly that it seemingly covered the sun. That's why when that event finally happened, I was looking at it at the internet in my smartphone. And the reporter who was he was right there in Oregon. That's where it started first, in Oregon. And so when he was shown, they were just, oh, it's going to be like a few more minutes. And so his background was daylight. It was daylight. It was morning. But when that event finally happened, finally it turned like night. And he was such in awe, and everyone else in that place, oh, wow, and they were like, oh, in awe. And the reporter, he just said it was like a spiritual, he used those words, it was a spiritual moment. And I believe as eyes were, you know, everyone's eyes were looking up. We're looking up. And some people would say that some people who don't believe in God, oh, you know, they would give us all of this scientific explanation and make like brush off the existence of a God who is in control of all of this. But God can use the heavens as His billboard. Can He do that? Yes, He can. The God who created all of this, the galaxy, in fact, the Bible tells us that He knows all the stars by name. And so when that happened, and it's like they call it the cornea, so there was just like a glimmer of that sun, a ring around just that portion when there was that total eclipse. God can use it, those events, whether scientific as it may sound to some, but He can use it to like speak to the hearts, because when I was, I couldn't get up to the, you know, in our building where we work, there's like a heliport thing. And so people went up with all of their glasses, special glasses. So everybody went up. And, you know, when I was in my desk, I prayed. Lord, I pray that everyone here in my workplace that does not know you would begin to have a stirring in their hearts to know that there's a God who can do this. You know, you and I can use moments like that. And so let us not just get into the hype of it and lose sight of what that event means. For some, it might be just, you know, that's just a total solar eclipse. But when you and I are talking about how the Bible tells us that God uses creation to speak to the hearts of men, of people, to know that there's a God. A God who not just loves us, but a God who's coming back soon. The Bible tells us of a promise that Jesus is coming back for the second time. And that can happen anytime. And so that's why he's doing anything to, like, grab people's attention. So that if anyone is not yet ready when that time comes, that we can make, like, a preparation, a spiritual preparation. For some of you who travel, there's a lot of preparation when you travel. No, you have to pack up your bags and all that. Check, you know, if you want to go to another place. Oh, what's the weather in that place, right? So all of these things, you know, we prepare ourselves for that. But there's one important thing that people need to remember, and that is, God is a God who loves us, who longs that you and I will be with Him for all eternity. Amen. And that because He loves us so much, that He would use anything for our hearts to turn to Him. In our time of prayer and fasting, because this is all that I have as far as the Word is concerned, because I think this is sufficient for the Holy Spirit of God to work with as far as all of us are concerned. I might not know the full details of what each one is going through, but God does, because He is an all-knowing God. He's not just a God who is distant, but He wants us. You know, when we were singing earlier about, we were worshiping Him and lifting up the name, one of the names of our Lord is He is our Emmanuel. And the meaning of Emmanuel is our God who is with us. With us. We may have people who love us, but they can't be around us 7/24. But we have a God who's alive, who cares for us, who can be with us. Times of being, you know, when we are down, or even in times, we thank God for moments we're in, you know, they're blessed times that we have rest and peace and joy. But do you know that we can also have joy in the midst of affliction? Yes, because that's what the presence of God brings in the lives of His people. Amen. That you and I can have peace in spite of difficult times. That's the reality of having Jesus in us. Not as a religion, but having Christ, having a relationship with Him. So in this time of prayer and fasting, let it be that we're not just doing this out of a religious ritual, but our prayer is that this particular Sunday, August 27, we pray that this will be a meaningful day for all of us. Whether you're just starting to have, you want to have a relationship with God today, or you have already made that decision to have that relationship with Christ, do you know that God will be with you? From that moment till the end. That's His promise. He will be with us till the end of the age. And so let us not get caught up in the hype of this world. We live in a world that is anti-Christ. And we know that that's one of the signs of the coming back of our Lord Jesus. When what we do good, when we pray, people consider it bad. They've taken away prayer. They've taken away the Word of God. That's why the Bible says, woe to those who consider good evil and vice versa. Good, evil. That's the times that we are living in. But praise God that in His mercy and grace, He's still wooing. He's still calling people to Him. And that's why the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. No one is promised or guaranteed tomorrow. That's why in His mercy and grace, God is giving everyone an opportunity to be reconciled with the Father. And can I say this? Can I say this with the love of God in my heart? I compel you to make that decision now. Don't, you know, delay. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. When God has been calling you and talking to you, in fact, the Word of God says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Every time we say no to Him, the heart gets hardened. But in the mercy of God, He still is trying to call us. And so let it be that this be the moment wherein all of us will make that choice to follow Jesus. Amen. And so as we turn to the Lord, before we take our communion, because we're not supposed to take communion lightly, we would have a moment with the Lord today. And we're going to pray and have this moment with Him and just talk to God. Remember that Jesus is alive. This is a moment wherein God has given you and me for us to talk to Him, that we can pour out our hearts to Him. The Lord knows what's going on in your life and mine. And what we learned today is He's not just the God of creation displaying His power and His might, but He's a God who cares for you and me. He loves us. He's mindful of us. As we bow down our heads, hallelujah. There's something about coming to the Lord in humility, because the Bible promises that He gives grace to the humble. I would request everyone to take this moment. So, Father God, we are so thankful, Lord God, for this time You've given us. Lord, even with that short video that was shown, a powerful reminder that, Lord, that tells us that in Your wisdom and knowledge, You created the heavens and the earth, and You created all of this for man. That, Lord, that You have given us responsibility over all Your creation, O God, and yet, Lord, in all of what we have seen, heard from Your word, we thank You that, Lord, You are revealing Yourself to every heart in this place. That, Lord, You are reminding us that You are an all-knowing God, all-powerful God, and yet who cares for each one of us individually, personally. And so, Lord, we thank You for this moment that You are speaking to our hearts, God. That for each one to know that You love us so much, that's why You gave Your Son Jesus. And so if there's anyone in this place that has not yet totally surrendered himself or herself to Jesus, this is the moment that God has given you. In fact, He loves you so much, and He knows what's going on. If you're burdened and discouraged, He will not just lift you up. He will not just give you the peace, but He will guide you and know with certainty that our future is now in His hands. That we should not be worried or be afraid of anything, because His promise is His presence will be with us till the end of time. And so if you're that someone and you have not yet made that decision to commit your life to Jesus, let this be the day. And I know that the Lord is speaking to some of you in this place, so I would encourage you, if you would like to make that decision today, just lift up your hand and do it as unto the Lord. We will pray. I will lead you in a very simple prayer. And all it takes is just saying that prayer with your lips and meaning it from your heart. So if there's anyone who would like to commit their lives to Jesus, praise God, let this be the day. And so if you're that person who would like to make that decision right now, follow me in this very simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to You. Go ahead, just say it. Lord Jesus, I come to You just as I am. Lord, I believe You're the creator of heaven and earth, and that You also created me. And Lord, I believe what Your word says, that You love me, that You died on that cross on my behalf. And so, Lord, today I make that decision to surrender my life to You and to ask for Your forgiveness for all of my sins. Thank You for Your most precious blood that You shed on that cross, that now I can have the forgiveness of all of my sins, that I will be guided from this day on by Your Holy Spirit and Your word. Thank You for loving me and the new beginnings that is ahead of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And for some of us who have known the Lord for quite a while, today is a powerful reminder for all of us that our help really comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Some of us may be overwhelmed with situations, with whether it be a sickness, whether it be financial troubles, family issues, that Lord, we don't know what to do. But today we turn to you because your word reminded us that we can choose to lift up our eyes towards the heavens, because that's where the help will come from. The help will come from you, Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so, Lord, in our time of prayer and fasting, oh God, we turn to you, God, with all of our times of doubting whether you will see us through, whether, Lord God, you're going to accomplish what you have promised, you have words that you have spoken to us. And so, Lord, we thank you for revealing yourself to us today, that you are not the only, not just the God of power and might, but, Lord, you are the God of integrity, faith. You're a faithful God. What you say in your word, you will perform, God. And so, Lord, we thank you, Father God, even for touching those who are sick in their bodies today. That, Lord, let there be the manifestation of the healing that comes from you. For those who, in their emotions, oh God, needs, Lord God, a lifting up, encouragement, healing in our emotions, oh God. For at times we realize that, Lord, people would hurt us. People hurt us big time. But instead, oh God, we thank you for reminding us that our worth is not based on how we are treated by others. When we are neglected or we feel like we are not important to them, God. We thank you for reminding us that before you, before your sight, Father God, because now we have Jesus, we are accepted by you, chosen by you, loved by you, and Lord, oh God, even chosen to be a part of the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, thank you for renewing hearts and minds today, Lord God, from the youngest person even to the oldest one in this place, that God, our lives have meaning and worth because of you, Jesus. You have given us that stamp of approval when we have Jesus in our lives. And so, Father God, thank you for touching your people today. Thank you even for the peace and the joy that would flood every heart and mind today, Lord God. And Lord, we even turn to you, Lord God, for help for our nation, God, nations. Lord, oh God, for America, for the Philippines, for Malaysia, and many parts of the world, oh God, Lord, we turn to you because you are the God who is concerned not just with our spiritual needs, oh God, but Lord, even for national needs. We turn to you, Lord God, for help for the storm that's in Texas right now. We pray, Lord God, that Lord, you would that Lord, help will come to those who need help, Lord God, from the floods that has devastated many properties and lives that were lost. We pray for comfort for those who have lost loved ones, oh God. We pray, Father God, Lord, even for the Philippines, Lord. We ask that God, in the name of Jesus, that let there be whatever oppression and injustice that's happening, not just in the Philippines, but in many parts of the world. We turn to you, Lord Jesus, because you are the God of righteousness and judgment and justice, oh God, that you're here for the oppressed, for the poor and the needy, oh God. That you will defend their cause, oh God. When people or the government would fail us, we turn to you, Lord, because the help will come from you. It's not about parties of the government, oh God, but Lord, to remember that, Lord, it is you that would bring help to us as a nation, oh God. Lord, this nation needs healing from all that's happening, oh God. For we know that, Lord, we believe that, Lord, you are in control of everything that's happening, oh God. And God, our prayer is that, Lord, help us, give us understanding and discernment to discern the times and seasons that we are living in. That, Lord, we will not be, Lord, oh God, slumbering or deep sleep spiritually, oh God, but so awakened, oh God, by your spirit that we would understand why these things are happening around us. That it would, Lord, be a powerful reminder for us to be alert, to be on guard, watchful and prayerful, doing what you have called us to do, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your grace upon your people that, Lord, from this day on, we're going to live for you, Jesus. That, Lord, we will not allow, Lord God, the things, the temporary things of this world take us away from your presence, oh God. Help us, Lord, we pray. Give us that kind of faith to act on what your word says. When you promise it, when we put you first, God. Yes. When we put you first, God. Your promise is that, Lord, you are faithful to do it, God. You shall supply for all of our needs. All of these things shall be added unto us, O God. That, Lord, yung blessings na yun, they will not even be wasted, O God. When you bless, it's always to the overflow, abundant, O God. That, Lord, you would even bless the people around us, or even, Lord, you would cause us, O God, to be a blessing globally, O God. Globally, Lord God, in Jesus' name, because what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. And Father God, we ask for the work of your Spirit upon your people, O God. Lord, bring revival to your church, God. We pray for those, O God, who have backslidden, that you would, Lord, O God, turn their hearts back to you, O God. Lord, for those who are discouraged, we pray that, Lord, you would encourage them and comfort them. Those who are going through tough times and questioning whether you care for them, Lord, the truth is you do. But your word says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. And through the work of your Spirit, we ask that, Lord, guide them, Lord God, to that humble state of calling upon your name, Lord. For as we do, as we call on your name out of a pure and sincere heart, we know that, Lord, you will do great and mighty things, Father God. There will be a manifestation of your power. What we cannot do for ourselves, Lord, you are able to do, O God. Lord, I pray that you would visit every family represented, Lord God, in this local church. Let there be a mighty visitation, divine visitation of your Spirit in every family. Bring healing where there is broken relationships, O God. Let there be love and respect in every household, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for marriages, O God. Strengthen marriages, Lord God. Lord, we pray for children, Lord God, that they would learn how to honor you, God, honor their parents, submit to authority, O God. We pray for our young people, guide them, Lord God, in their young life, Lord God. May they not be swayed by the spirit of the world, O God, but be led by your Spirit, Lord. We pray for parents, guardians, grandparents, O God. We ask, Father God, grant us wisdom that we may pass on the legacy. The important thing that matters most, O God, is our faith in you, Lord. And so, Father God, help us, Lord, to be strong in you, Lord God. And this is our prayer. Father God, what a blessed time that we can partake of the communion. And we don't want to take this lightly, but this is part of what you have called us to do, to always remember what you have done for us, Lord Jesus. You gave up your life that we may have life. And Lord, even as the elements are being passed on, we ask that your Holy Spirit continually work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, as we call on the ushers for the communion elements to be passed. Emily, can I ask you to be here? Sister Janet, can you lead us as Emmanuel as the elements are being passed? Thank you, Lord.
Together in this place of worship, your greatness we proclaim. We stand as one in giving you all glory and acclaim. To you our hearts are open, to you our hands we raise. Come take the place of honor in our lives.
Praises of our Savior rise to open skies. With the dawning of redemption, your glory will arise. Zion, you are praised, our Lord and King forever. You will reign, Emmanuel. Our God is with.
Before we partake the elements, allow me to read the portion of the scriptures that says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. Our limited minds may not fully understand why you had to do what you did. You are God and you have so many ways to bring about salvation in our lives. But you chose to come down from heaven to be like us. You suffered and died on that cross. You gave up your body, Lord Jesus. Your broken body, your hands and feet, they were pierced, nailed to the cross. Crowns of thorns were placed upon your head. People mocked you, spat on you. They didn't know that you are God. But that, Lord, it was not an accident that you died on that cross. It was intentional. It was part of the Father's plan of salvation, that we may be reconciled, that we may have the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, today, this particular Sunday, as we take communion, we don't want to take this lightly because we would like to remember, Jesus, what you have done at that cross. As your Spirit is giving us more and more understanding and revelation that we need, God, that in turn that our hearts will come to you always with gratitude to thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done, for the gift of salvation and the gift of eternal life. And so, Lord, as we partake this bread, a symbolism of your broken body, may we always come to you always, oh God, and not neglect remembering you, Jesus, and your sacrifice at that cross. Thank you for loving us, oh God, the love that is so strong, unconditional, and eternal, God. We change, but you don't, Lord. And we thank you, God. And so, Lord, even when you said, oh God, in the same way after supper, he took the cup saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Your death has substance and meaning. And we appropriate the blessings that you have accomplished at that cross for us today. The forgiveness of all of our sins, healing to our bodies, to our emotions, to those who feel like worthless today, that would change because we find significance and worth in you, Jesus. That, Lord, we will live this day, our lives from this day on, knowing Christ, knowing Jesus personally and intimately as the God who called us and who is the Lord of our lives. And when we say, "Lord," to you, Jesus, may we obey you when you speak to us. And so, Lord, as we partake this bread, thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, as we partake the bread. This cup that reminds us of your most precious blood, Lord Jesus. That blood, the blood of Jesus, still has power today to bring wholeness in our lives and to know that our sins have been forgiven. And so, Lord, as we partake this cup, thank you for your most precious blood. That, Lord, through that blood, we have overcome Satan, his lies and deception. And that we know that we are strong in you, Lord Jesus, to overcome any temptation that comes our way. That, Lord Jesus, through your blood, Lord Jesus, you're going to renew hearts and minds. You're going to give us a new heart. A heart that would long for your presence all the day, all the time. A heart that will hunger for you and not just the temporal things of the world. A heart that would choose to obey you and do what you have called us to do. And so, Father God, even before we partake this cup, Jesus, we declare that you are our soon coming King. Help us to make ourselves ready when that time comes, God. And that, Lord, you would use us to share your love to others as you have touched us today. As you send us forth, that, Lord, oh God, it's through the love of God and the power of your Spirit. And thank you for your most precious blood that brings wholeness upon our lives to do your will. In Jesus' mighty name, as we partake the cup. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's sing that portion again. See the praises of our Savior.
See the praises of our Savior rise to open skies.
Thank you, Lord.
We the dawning of redemption, your glory will arise. For you alone are worthy. Here in Zion you are praised. Our Lord and King forever, you will reign.
Say his name, Emmanuel, yes. Father God, we thank you for building up our faith today. To be reminded that, Lord, help is here for us. When we learn how to call on the true living God. For our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We thank you for that confidence that you have established in the hearts of everyone in this place. That, Lord, we are never alone when we have you, Jesus. That you have given us your wonderful Holy Spirit as our counselor, as that divine power of God made available for us to overcome any weaknesses that we may have in our lives, to fully say yes to you, O God. And our prayer, Lord, is from this day on, that you're going to send us forth in the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, that the love of God would flow through us, that people would begin to see Jesus, the light of Jesus shining brightly through our lives. We will be more forgiving. We will be more patient. We will be more concerned about others and not just about ourselves. And so, Lord, you are raising up a people of God that knows you, whose convictions are so firm and strong. Help us to never compromise our faith. When there will be seemingly luring temptations that will be given to us, Father God, may we still choose you no matter what. And we thank you, Father God, even right now for touching everyone in this gathering, O God, to know that, Lord, we have received the love of God and the power of God, the blessings that come alone from you, Father God, to know that, Lord, in Jesus' name, needs are met only in Christ alone. So, Father God, I thank you for blessing us We ask, Father God, that, Lord, cause your face to shine upon everyone in this place. Wisdom in all decision making. The power of God to overcome challenges that anyone is faced with or will be faced with in the coming days. Your hedge of protection to be built around your people, O God. Help us to share Jesus to others who needs hope. The message of hope and the message that, Lord, we need. There's this urgency for people to turn their hearts to Christ. And so, Father God, we thank you that you're going to send us forth, O God, to be people who love the Lord and people that would have concern even for those who are lost. They too would find their way to Jesus as we will point the way to him. Father God, we thank you that you're going to dismiss us in your love, in your grace, and the power of your Spirit. We thank you for this time, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together. Amen. Let's call on the praise and worship team. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.